Matthew Gospel 28, yeah, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's the word power there, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always until the end. We've looked at the subject of disciples. And let's begin to explore a few things we said. They said the disciple is the one who follows you. Right? Just on Sundays? Huh? Sure about that? Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays. Who follows you. Right? Who leaves other things. Now, we're really talking about following Jesus, but we have become Jesus' agents, right? We become his discipling men through us. So when we say follow you, we mean follow Jesus, but they're following you. Alright. So, he follows you, and also one who gives excuses. Is a potential disciple, but is not yet one. A fellow who gives excuses is not a disciple yet. Could be later, but is not yet one. Disciples do not live by excuses. And any pastor knows this. If somebody begins to give reasons and excuses, there's a sister like that, she was one of us. She used to be in one of the fellowships led by Brother Beckley and Brother Alex. I think the two of them were. So, the sister now, she used to give a lot of excuses. So at the time, I said, okay, be sending me anytime you request permission. So she will copy all of us. So one day I sat her down and I said, let me look at our communication. So I just typed, sorry, sir. And tens of texts. I said, I just drew the two of them. I said to me, Alex, this lady will not last long in this ministry. She wouldn't. And the lady had brought other people. Said, this one will not last here. No. Only last year. It didn't take long. She left. Then one of the days I saw her, we were having a conversation. You know, she had nothing to say to me about, oh, now, Pastor, though I've not been in church for a while, but then I'm doing this for the Lord, you know, where she was. She began to talk to me about a man of God. I spoke to the secretary. I said, what? You mean for those 2 years or so, everything we thought you had escaped because you were not even around is sorry. So your case is sorry case. See, this one will not last. Excuses night and day. And if you are like that, you are treading a path of someone who's going to go astray. Don't be used to excuses. I've always told you, for every excuse you have, there will be someone with the same circumstance and situation, doing exactly what you neglected to do. So in Luke 9, the people who said, where do I live? Or I want to go and bury my dad. Or I want to tell my family. They couldn't be the ones he would send. But there were others who did it. Because in Mark 10, 28 and 29, 27, 20, 29, Peter said, we have left all to follow you. We have left all to follow you. We have left behind lands, houses, as Jesus mentioned later, father, mother, children. I mean, that's just to tell you what's the cost. Of course, today, people, now that doesn't mean you abandon your family. That's not what it's talking about. Priority. Some people have used it for 100-fold return offering. As though they can drop their family inside the offering bag. It's about priority. So we said that. The disciple has priority. Prioritizes the work of the kingdom. There's a brother like that who told me, he said, sir, they told me he was to act. He got a job. He had gone abroad, so got his master's degree. Now, why do we say things like this? Because we live by examples. So he got a good job. I won't mention the figure, but the figure is good. It's very good. He's a very good figure. But they were going to ask him to walk very far from his church. And he was just about to begin to pastor. So he said, he got two opportunities. The other one was about a third or less than a third. Then he said, sir, I'm not telling you so that you will cancel me. He said, you have taught us enough to know what to do. I'm taking the one that will make me serve. You know, when some people come to you for such counseling, they know what they want to do. You already said it. This one will take me away from what I'm doing in the Lord. So what do I do? You want to quote me? They don't allow us to even maximize our potentials. They don't want us to reign in this world. Very unfortunate. So, disciples have priorities. They know what the priorities are. A lockdown situation does not change the disciple. He will do his study group assignment. He will do everything together. He will do evangelism. Pray at the prayer time. At the time of prayer, the prayer chain. The disciple doesn't give excuses. Then we also explored something, don't forget. We said, where do you find your disciples again? Facebook? Twitter? Where? In the look. They are in your cells, right? They are in your cell. They are in your cell, they are in your fellowship, they are in your prayer meetings. Those are where you find disciples. You won't find disciples of Jesus watching a Chelsea game when he's praying. Amen. I think they are playing today. They should play today and lose. Good for them. That's alright. I don't wish my enemy evil. It's just that whatever a man sows, he should reap. You know, a disciple of Jesus, when you see Jesus, you always find his disciples. If they are not with him, he has sent them somewhere. They walk by instructions. If you're a disciple of Brother James, you watch what he does on social media. Right? Right? Am I right? You watch what he doesn't do. You don't just follow your pastor and what he does. You also follow what he does not do. But another man of God is doing it. Each man to his own. Hallelujah. Each man to his own. So you see, they don't give excuses. Other thing we explored, the 1 Corinthians 1:28, not many that are noble, that are mighty, status. Someone once said, me, I cannot be praying like those people. You know, they are all young. They are young. Me, after three. I can't be praying like that. I have things, I have bills to pay. You are backsliding. And a horrible one at that. The person's marital state has entered her head. There are others, if you look at them when they were in the university, the colleges, they are heads of fellowships. They will go on outreaches. Some of them did NYC and did this Royal Rugged. I don't know what it is, but I've heard about it. They go to villages to preach. They go and deliver people from all sorts of evil. They are now settling down in jobs. They are now socializing the gospel. Well, I found my calling finally. You were ESCO, head of prayer. That was not your calling. You moved into evangelism. It was not your calling. You were organizing convention university, bringing preachers, being responsible for the honorarium. That was not your calling. You were leading people from cults to Christ. That was not your calling. So your calling is defined by Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and Elon Musk. And what's the other, the real man? Jeff Bezos. When you see money, as money. You know, there's some money, they are tempting you at this point. You are finished. There's some money that they don't tempt again, they just take you. A man walked his children, his daughters, to go and buy toy cars. And he spent $600,000. He said, Papa is God. Those who worship materialism should be looking stupid. When those who don't pray, don't know God, they do what men do and have what men have. So how can that define your ministry? You were in campus. In secondary school, you were an executive of your fellowship. In the university, you were given to the things of God. And your weight, your height and weight showed it. Now you are now entrepreneur of the year. Or you are now giving awards. You now have acquired a PhD. You are now known. You are now, you know, and you feel that is really what God wants you to do. No. That's what you wanted to do. And that has entered your head. That's why you have stopped attending the prayer meetings when they say study group. You think it's for people who are young. Because you are not a disciple. Think it's for, how can I sit down? By the time I handle my children's school fees, by the time I take care of my husband, I take care of everything, I will not be sitting down and be listening to one track. I'm taking notes. And who is going to mark it? It's not Jeff Bezos. It's one guy in Shomolu. No. That is the pride. Let me tell you. If I make, some people will put their shoulders high like shoulder pad. If Jeff Bezos was their study group leader, they will say, why one track per week? Why can't we have five tracks per day? I mean, this is the work of our father. But when they say, who is the person? You just see the person who is your study group leader. He comes down from Marwa. He's the person that's going to be marking. Has the word worked in his life? That's how they think. That's how they reason. That's how they think. Some say, and some people do it. And I've warned you. As soon as some people get married in the church, they start gravitating towards married people. They start calling themselves new names. Rather than calling sister, they'll say, mommy, so, so, and so. If I catch you, find another church. And there are many. You can even join women's band. Not here. You are sister, brother. When you are elderly, we also refer to you. Don't come and form a secret cult here. You don't have that here. Some begin to make friends with those who are wealthy. They know them. They know how to see it. They know them. See, whose car is that? Whose car is that? See, Pastor Oscar. Pastor was not even attending. Whose car? Okay. Which person? Is it? If anything is Mushi? Where do I live? Bagada. It's close to Mushi. Money has become your Lord. Marriage. Status. Now, you are the marketing manager of your company. You now attend board meetings. So when you attend board meetings, they serve you tea, right? And then you have your notes. And then you also are doing Zoom meetings. And your partners from the different corners of the earth, you are talking. Then on a Tuesday, one short person now calls you. Are you coming for fellowship? Fellowship? Oh, that one we do in your house. The way I'm looking at my schedule. My schedule. You know what's happening? The position has entered his head. I know some of you, the older you are getting, you are proudly. You are now throwing chest. Are you ashamed of this? You are just in your 40s. Oh. You already carrying walking stick to walk. When they call you brother, it's not sufficient. His brothers, they are satisfied. You are not going anywhere in your spiritual life. You are not growing. Praise the Lord. You used to attend World Changers Conference. You get there the day before. Now you are getting there in the middle. I know the particular day you get there. The day of the long teaching. In the evening. Your life is self-destruct, spiritually speaking. you have to change. And I meant, nothing should change you. Don't be so big you cannot clean the restrooms for other brethren. You are now an usher. Before you stay at the door, you clean the chair. You now say, ah, Bro Gabriel, or you are in the technical, what do you call you guys, works. Bro Gabriel, Bro Femi, I'm just thinking, you know, we can pay people, you know, money has entered your head. Everything is money. We can pay people to do these things. We can pay people to, why? Because you are now higher than what you used to do. Let not such thing happen to you. So, listen. The church of God is not where we acknowledge your status, but we do not respect you above all brethren. I am a husband. That doesn't matter. I am a wife. Or I am both. Doesn't matter. I am a businessman. I am a politician. I am a governor. I am a footballer. He was one, a Chelsea fan. That one does not even deserve anything. You know, Paul gave instructions to everybody. Don't think you are not too big. Do you get it? You are not too big to be instructed. Whoever you are. Paul, look at Ephesians. He gave instructions to everybody. Look at the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. He gave instructions to children, verse 1. Verse 1 and 2. To 3. He gave instructions to fathers. Don't say, he's my family, I'm the one that decides what to do. No! Paul instructs you. It's not a suggestion. Are you there? Instructs you. Instructs you as an employee in verse 5. Be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. He gives instructions to those who equally have employees. Verse 9. In Ephesians 5. He gives instructions to husband and wife. Don't say, it's my family. Whatever. No! Like brother and sister in Christ. Are you there? You can't disregard your parents. I say, no! I'm sold out to Jesus alone. No, you are a member of Saints Community Church. And we have a right to tell you, listen to your parents. Many times when people come, and they want to ask counsel from me, and they're not members of our church. I've been facing persecution. I've been doing this one. I say, go and ask your pastor. The pastor usually knows the facts. The real facts. The real facts. Just like marital counseling is done in the local church. The real facts. You'll be seeing the real facts. Ah, sister, you didn't type that one. It's in italics. So, there are instructions for everyone. If you are in authority, there are instructions for you. There is nothing you are in life that is not under the authority of the local assembly. Nothing. Whether you are an employer, an employee, whether you are a businessman, whether you are rich and wealthy, whether you are old or young. Let me see how they're following what I'm saying. You have instructions. The local church pastor, the one who disciples you, has the responsibility to instruct you. The scribes were instructed. Matthew 13:52. The rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, and the elder of the council, well renowned in Jerusalem, was one who would sit down and learn. We had other people in Paul's ministry. Some of them were treasurers of an entire city. Some of them were governors. Some of them were rulers. And they were listening. So discipleship has no limits. Did you hear that? It has no, when I get to this point, then I will no longer, the moment I'm in my 40s or 50s or 60s, there's no need for study group for me, there's no need for prayer group for me. That is not true! You don't outgrow innocence. Did you hear me? Yeah, you don't. So, who is my disciple? The one who behaves like a child, right? Come on. Who acts like a servant. The one who puts the kingdom of God and his instructions as priority. Now let's go to you. who will on behalf of Jesus. One of the things my dear friend, Pastor Larry Amuson, he was the pastor of Living Word Christian Fellowship, I think in 1995, University of Ibadan. He also became the principal of School of Campus Ministry in 1996. And, 1996, yes. He was, Living Word Christian Fellowship was started by Brother Tokes, in 92. So he took over 4 years after, I think. And then he said something very beautiful. And I'll never forget it. He said, Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. We are the under shepherds. He said, so we shepherd on behalf of Christ. It looks very simple, but it's a very profound and directional statement. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. We are under shepherds. We shepherd on behalf of Christ. Make it very simple. And so, discipling, eventually what you're doing is that you are discipling on behalf of Jesus. They are your disciples for Jesus. They are your disciples for Jesus. So let's explore who you really are when you are discipling. I'm going to pick on one narrative here about the man discipling. Don't forget, discipleship is making people follow you by teaching and being an example to them. Making people follow you by teaching them and being an example to them. Making people follow you by teaching them and being an example. Let me take it again. Making people follow you, believers now, by teaching them and being an example to them. So who am I? I am a shepherd. Every discipler is a shepherd. So I must act like one. I am a shepherd. In John 21, verse 15, verse 16 and 17, Jesus says, Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than this? Simon said, you know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. Bosco ta anea. Feed my lambs. Bosco ta anea. It means provide nourishment for my lambs. The word lambs there has to do with innocence. Feed my lambs. You find that word in Matthew 8:30, Matthew 8:33, Mark 8:11 and 14, Luke 8:32 and 34. I'll take it again. Matthew 8:30 and 33, Mark 5:11 and 14, Luke 8:32 and 34, and Luke 15:15, the parable of the prodigal son, as we say. Feeding among swines. He said that word two times. Feed my, or what? Feed my lambs. Then in 16, he said, feed my sheep. John 21. Poi mano ta probata. Poi mano ta probata. P-O-I-M-A-N-O, then T-A-P-R-O-B-A-T-A. It means to provide guidance. The first one is provide nourishment. Pay attention. Provide nourishment, food, support, sustenance. The second statement is provide leadership. Provide guidance. The word poimano, where you have the word pastor or shepherd, is provide guidance, leadership, rule, authority, and governance. Then 17. Bosco ta probata. That is, provide sustenance again for my sheep. Why this emphasis? He uses the word bosco twice, the word poimano once, which means for each time that I provide guidance, rulership, and instruction, twice I must provide food and nourishment. The pastor, therefore, or the shepherd or the discipler does instruct, does command, does give you a charge, but he does it because he feeds you the word. He sustains you spiritually. So you mustn't put the one above the other. It's not, the first priority is to provide food. Do you teach these people? Do you feed them the word? The difference between someone who talks on the internet or feeds on living word media, and the guy who feeds through you is, you ensure that he actually understands it and he makes a practice of it. So it's real time. You will never find sheep and shepherd interact by signals. They don't interact by airwaves. They interact real time and with each other. So for one instruction or command, or call it guidance, or call it commands or charge, I must have taught twice, fed twice, sustained twice. It's often said that people first of all want to know that you care before they care what you know. Therefore, the pastor's work is primarily, the shepherd's work, the disciple's work, is providing care. And in the care, I instruct. I won't start with instructions. I will start with feeding you. Then along the lines of feeding, I instruct. So you don't superimpose shepherd on sheep. You don't superimpose disciples on disciples. It's something that emerges from a relationship that feeds the other, sustains, then along that work begins to instruct. It doesn't start with do your study group assignments. It doesn't start with make sure you pray. It starts with teaching you how to pray. And then praying with you and praying for you. Then I can start instructing you to pray. Who's following what I'm saying here? Make it that straightforward and simple. So the word poimano, which is where in the middle, verse 16. It's in Matthew 2:6, the shepherds. Then Acts 20:28. Feed the flock there is the word poimano. 1 Corinthians 9:7, Paul uses it talking about the apostles. And then 1 Peter 5:2, turn in there. 1 Peter 5:2. Are you in church? So the disciple is the shepherd. Hallelujah. Say, I have the heart of a shepherd. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. I have the heart of a shepherd. Pray for yourself. I have the heart of a shepherd. Of a good shepherd. One who loves the flock. One who has the interests at heart. I have the heart of a shepherd. I have passion for the flock. I don't abandon them. I don't give excuse over their lives. I love them. I feed them. I don't rule the flock by instructions alone. I feed, then I instruct. Hallelujah. You sit down. 1 Peter 5:1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, whom also am an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed, that's what poimano, the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, where you have episcopals or bishop, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being what? Examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, notice the flow. He shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. And that's how it works in the local assembly. We're in the local assembly. Remy here is under Brother Kola. Remy, therefore, is younger to him. Brother Kola is younger to me. He becomes an example by submitting to him as he also submits to me. And I to Jesus. Now, which means that is the way we multiply discipleship in the church. As he disciples him, as it were, he disciples others. As they grow, it flows that same way. There will always be the elder of the elders and the younger of the elders. And I must know who is who at each point in time and who I am. That said, he said, this must be of a ready mind. We'll get to that in a moment. It's not for benefits. Now, there's nothing wrong in giving to those who lead you, but it's not for that purpose that I'm serving. It's not for benefits. It's not as a lord over God's heritage, rather as an example to the flock, just like Jesus. Because in 1 Peter 2:24, he had said that Jesus bore our sins on his own body on the tree. Then in 25, that we be like sheep that gone astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. So Jesus is exemplary in sacrifice and service. So pay very good attention. Poimano, therefore, it becomes the natural result of feeding people. Let me say this very clear to you. You don't have authority to instruct people that you don't feed. The authority to instruct comes from the responsibility to feed. People must understand that. People can be on the, I can teach on social media, put out things on Facebook, but where I have the authority to instruct are those who are under my oversight that I feed, not just teach the word, but I also provide the resources for their spiritual growth in time, in men, and in different activities. Then I have the authority to instruct. Therefore, it's vital that we understand this crucial part of it. In Matthew 9:36, Jesus says, these men are like sheep having no shepherd. Took Brother Hagin to point our attention to this. That Jesus did not say they were sheep having no prophet, or sheep having no apostle, or sheep having no evangelist, not even teacher. He said having no shepherd. And that gives you the background of Israel. Israel was called at that point a sheep, that it should not be a sheep without shepherd. Numbers 27 verse 17. Like we said in the first session, everything we teach is from the Old Testament. Which may go out before them, that they may go in before them. And which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep having no shepherd. God's sheep must always have what? Shepherd. God's sheep must always have men leading them. I've seen people, you know, say all sort of nonsense. That, well, everybody is everybody's shepherd. How does that even sound? That sounds like Blue John, like rubbish. No. There are men chosen here. And what was going on here is that God has chosen Joshua. Why? Because there have to be men who will lead God's people, that they be not like sheep having no shepherd. 1 Kings 22 and verse 17. 1 Kings 22 and verse 17. 1 Kings 22 and verse 17. I saw all Israel scattered on Facebook. Amen. On Twitter. Speaking anyhow. And some of you are like that. You left Facebook. You now went on Twitter. I'm there for you now. I'm there because I'm your pastor. And I'm not joking. And I'm wondering, from Saints Community Church? No. No. You can't act like a sheep without shepherd. A sheep without shepherd is astray. Goes alone. You know, we said disciples walk together. Remember that? What about sheep? Is that the same thing? They must be in the flock. We look at ourselves. Before I do anything, I look around. Ah, if he's not doing, that means I'm not doing it. Why? Because I'm in the flock. Sheep having no shepherd. Nobody saying anything. You are just the one doing what you like. means sheep having no control. No one that provides, no particular person that provides sustenance for them. Verse 17. As sheep that have no shepherd, the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. They have no master, no control. Like judges, every man did as it was right in his own eyes. That is social media era. He said, self-love. Love yourself first. Very devastating things. Glorified. Zechariah 10. Zechariah 10. Are you learning something? Zechariah chapter 10. And verse 2. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told this false dream. They comfort in vain. Therefore they went their way as a flock, they were troubled. Because why? There was no shepherd. Ezekiel 34. No shepherd. Are you listening to me? When you see people embrace the word to the glory of God. I've been around those who embrace the word for a few days. And I've seen things that, this is not the Spirit of God. And everyone is doing as they want to do. No. Nothing works that way. Nothing. Nothing works that way. Where you have sheep, you must have a flock. You must have a shepherd. Ezekiel 34. And I've seen people say, let's just do things as we are led. Who is leading you? The Spirit. How does He do it? Does it work that way? Ezekiel 34. Praise the Lord. You have the story of shepherds. Verse 1. Woe to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flocks? But look at God's intent. Verse 10. I require my flock at your hand. I'm talking to you pastors and leaders, and to you cell leaders, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I'll deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Verse 10, 11. I will search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day, there is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, even out of how all the places they have been scattered in the cloudy and in the dark day. And I'll bring them out from the people, gather them from all the countries, and bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers. And all the inhabited places of this country, I'll feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel, they shall lie in a good fold in a fat pasture, shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I'll feed my flock and I'll cause them to lie down, said God. This is the ministry of Jesus. This is what he did in John 10. We'll get to that in a moment. So there is an importance of sheep and then the shepherd. Matthew 25 and 32. Matthew 25 and 32. One of the things that will be done at the very end is to separate one another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. Then Matthew 26, 31. This one writes in capital letters. And I want to talk to you, either my generation or the generation just behind me. The very first work of Satan is to hit at shepherds. It's the very first work of Satan. It's the first thing that Satan aims at. Why does he do it? In verse 31, Matthew 26, all you shall be offended because of me this night. You will be offended because of me. His own disciples. Because of me. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. Zechariah 13:7. And the sheep shall be scattered. There is no church that ceases to be effective because Satan accuses a member. No. There is no ministry that is disturbed because a member fell into sin. No. There is no church that experiences hardship because some two members had problems. Is the shepherd. Then you scatter the flock. Same thing in Mark 6:34 and Mark 14:27. So we have a responsibility to ensure that does not happen in ourselves, in our fellowships, in our churches. When God chooses a man, that is the man he has chosen. And whatever we think about the man becomes irrelevant. I'm saying that absolutely to you. Whatever God chooses the man over you, whatever church or ministry you belong to, that's the one God has chosen. Do we pray for them? Yep. Do we worship them? That doesn't make sense. There's no human being that should be worshipped. Do we follow them when they err? Of course not. Why should you? Those are silly questions. But do we protect them? Yeah. To ensure that their work is effective. Yes. The writer of Hebrews says, pray for us. For we seek to do the right thing from a good heart and a good conscience. That is the way to love your pastor. Look at Hebrews 13:18. Don't ever get involved in second guessing your leaders. Guessing. Am I sure he means well? Am I sure he will? You know, those thoughts are not good. Think well. Same thing that the pastor must think well of the flock. Hebrews 13:18. Pray for us, for we trust that we have a good conscience and are willing to live honestly. Hallelujah. I believe this of our pastors. I believe this of our leaders. What about you? I don't pray so that they don't do wrong. I pray because I know they want to do right. Is that very clear? Be positive. Be positive about your leaders, about your pastors. Be positive. Don't be negative. Don't let any nonsense you read in the media put suspicious thoughts on your mind. Be positive. I know my pastor will do the right thing. I know he's going to shepherd the flock by the Spirit of God. I know he will not lead us astray. I am confident about that. Hallelujah. When you speak like that and you pray like that, it comes to pass. It comes to pass. Are you following what I'm saying? We trust. I trust that he has a good heart. And he wants to live well and honestly. So, let's now talk to those who are in that position. And all of you should be. In John 10, we have said, the shepherd provides sustenance. In John 10, if you have time, read very well from verse 1 through to verse 18. Then verse 27 through to verse 30. I'll take the key issues. I am the good shepherd, verse 11. And I give my life. A good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And Jesus said in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. Hear this. The first distinction of a shepherd is that you lay down your life for the flock. Not that you teach. No. Not that you give instructions. No. That is a fallout of that is the fact that one, hear me well, you live by sacrifice and by service. By sacrifice, service, you lay down your life. I'll come to the basics in a moment. It includes your time. People you don't have time for, you cannot shepherd. People you don't have time for, and you know we now have this ease of ministry, where you can stay in your room and begin to talk to a church. That is not pastoring. No. That's not it. Those who are available. Availability is proof of commitment, not comfort. So, before you exercise control, the question I want to ask you, Saints community, is do you sacrifice? Do you serve? You know, I look at some of our young ministers. I'm young too, but some are younger than I am. And I laugh. You see a minister of the gospel who has been in the work for 40 years. It doesn't mean you're going to believe what he believes. Don't you know what 40 years is in doing anything? 40 years times 365 days. Says the Lord. When you see such people after years, and you see the kind of command, so respect that they command, honor, and you start feeling uncomfortable, you have a mental agitation. You have a problem that can only be solved in Hades. You see commitments. I know a preacher that said, in about 20 years of pastoring the church, he hasn't been off the pulpit more than 5 times. That beat me. Commitment. There in the morning praying with them. There in the afternoon praying with them. So you think you can just have a device and talk. No, guy. Go and pay your dues. Go and show us your sacrifice. Go and show us your labor. Go and raise people from secondary school, university, till they get married and are committed to Jesus. Go and raise people who were drug addicts, receive Christ. They are now ministers of the gospel. Go and raise people from career persons giving to the world. They are now missionaries. They will listen to you. Are you following what I'm saying? Go and raise people first. There are some of you here. There was one person who sent me something. And I said, how many disciples do you have that are even in Christ? Half. One leg in, one leg out. Judas Iscariot. Here and there. And you are talking. You won't go far. Because you don't know the labor, the sacrifice involved in the work of ministry. He's not sitting there and saying, the Greek word of pastor is poimano. You think that's all we do? No. How many times have you woken up all night crying over men's lives? Weeping. How many people have you become a sucker for in their greatest moments, the dark moments in life? How many? And for how long? Saints Community Church, are you all hearing me? Face your work. Is that clear? Face your work. Imagine if you're in an exam hall. And Sister Onyade is writing, maybe I'm, and then we're doing an exam together. Then I call the invigilator. Invigilator, she's not answering the question well. Am I not an idiot? Are we not going to submit the same script? Have I even gotten my own marks? Face your work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Mind your business. Your business is Jesus and His church. Mind your business. Control is only relevant where there's sacrifice and service. Not for benefits. Don't take a job that won't allow you to have time for the flock. Don't do it. I know there's sometimes some things can be explainable. Yes. But don't create an excuse where there's no genuine reason. Don't do it. And let me mention this. Don't abandon the flock. You know, I've said that thing over the years. it will come back at you. Even if you go and start a church somewhere, whatever you buried will come back. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Whatever, if you sow to the flesh, you cannot reap of the spirit. If you sow to the flesh, you are going to reap corruption. Did you hear what I'm saying? Don't. Don't treat the church anyhow. Don't treat the church just anyhow. Oh, well, you just say, well, I have to quickly go and do one assignment somewhere. Okay, guys, you guys can just fellowship on Wednesday. Don't worry. Well, I'll come back 2 weeks' time. Just, what do we have? What do we do, Pastor? You are led by the Spirit. Ha! No. You must find time. Did you hear me? You must find time. Somebody in your flock loses the parents. You find time, you have to go. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? They just sent text. You know, we know where he went to. We know he's in glory. Yeah. You are there. You are right there. Praise the Lord. Because that's your job. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's your job. Sacrifice, service, time. Psalm 78 verse 72. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? David, who was a shepherd boy, became a king. Look at the words spoken about David. Verse 72. I'll start from verse 70. He chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfold. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. The word here, Tebunah in the Hebrew, T-E-B-U-N-A-H, T-E-B-U-N-A-H, deals with experience and understanding. Let me tell you something. God has given you experiences. Some of the things you will pass through in life, you will feel that, oh, it was so horrible, eventually becomes an experience useful to tend the flock. I look back at years down the line. Some of the things that I made mistakes genuinely have now become part of my message. It's now a skill by which I guide others to fulfill God's plan for their lives. So he, in this work, you are able to gather all. One of the things the ministry does to you, you can gather all your experiences and they become useful. You now know how to help people pray and pray properly. Pray for long. Be consistent in ministry. By whether married or not, your experience in ministry can help you teach and instruct the married. You don't have to be married to teach married people. The two commentators on marriage were Jesus and Paul, and they were not married. So you don't have to be. Praise the Lord. The experience. He said he fed Jacob. Verse 71. The word nakah. Or the word ra, sorry. R-A-H. R-A-A-H. To pastor. The very first time you are going to see that word is in Genesis chapter 4 for Abel. That's how I told you Abel was an imagery there of a servant of God. He said he fed them. He fed Jacob his people. He fed them. And in verse 72, he guided them, nakah, N-A-C-H-A-H, into their inheritance. What does that mean? Nakah basically deals with leading people to do what God has called them to do. Your job is not done till that brother, that sister, becomes active and effective in ministry. Do you hear that? Active and effective. That's why Romans 8:17 I taught you. Romans 8:14 says we are led by the Spirit. That is the agor. Agor, led by the Spirit. Exodus, from darkness to light, flesh to the Spirit. Verse 15, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but it's adoption, euthesia. Exodus 4:22, Israel is my son, my firstborn. Then 16, the Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are the children, technon of God. That means we are not like Israel. We are born of God. If we are children, we're heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs. Sug pleronomos with Jesus. So the question is, what is Jesus' inheritance? Lands and houses? I ask a question. Cars? No. His inheritance is the nations. Psalm 2 verse 7 and 8. Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for inheritance, the uttermost part of the earth for a possession. What that means is now we're joint heirs with Jesus to carry out his work. So if I'm leading people, I must lead them to their inheritance. Their inheritance is not lands, cars, and houses. Their inheritance are spiritual realities of God in the earth, which culminates in the work of the ministry. So, my job is set out. I take the unsaved. He believes. I begin to mold him into his inheritance. My job is not done. Or let's say, my job is far from being done till he or she begins to walk in that inheritance. Begins to lead other nations to Jesus the Lord. Becomes an example to others. In Saints Community Church, he goes through membership classes, but he doesn't stop there. He's in the prayer groups, he doesn't stop there. He's in the study groups. She's in the study groups, but he doesn't stop there. This same person begins to do what I am doing. And effectively so. Then I can say, that's what I was called to do. In 1 Samuel 22, if David therefore is that model or Old Testament example of what we're talking about, don't forget two things. The integrity of his heart. Firstly means that you are sincere about it. Say, I have a good heart. Say, I have the integrity of a good shepherd. That means the reason why you are pastoring people is to lead them for Jesus. No other reason. Not to use them to make money. Not to use them, not to get married to them. No. Not to use them to travel abroad. Not to use them for Facebook profile. No. To lead them into their inheritance. So you lead by the integrity of your heart. Let me tell you something. Look up. This is for every pastor, whether you are in this church or you are watching me. See, that sincerity of heart thing, men will see the fruit, no doubt. But hear me, between you and God. You must make sure that your heart is pure. You have no other motives to pastor but to glorify God. So, then also the skillfulness of your hand. I say to you that you are getting experiences by the day. You are getting experience by the day. You are getting skillful by the day. You are getting astute by the day. All the experiences you thought were useless are becoming useful to you. The things you passed through that look like a bad situation are now tools for you in ministry. Are you following what I'm saying? With the same comfort that you are comforted of God, you comfort other people. Now you know what it means to believe God for a healing, to receive one, and to wait for a miracle. You start to lead people by that. How to be persecuted, shamed, sacked at your work, and yet serve God. It looks like a bad day, but see every experience that one day, because of what I'm doing in this world, is going to be a skill in the work of the ministry. Can I have an amen? So for me, as a servant of God, as a shepherd, every experience counts. Every day counts. Every year counts. whether I'm single or married, my single life becomes useful for others. My marital life becomes useful for others. Oh, I'm divorced by very bad incidents, something that's not my fault at all. It becomes useful. I'm widowed. It's the same thing. It becomes a tool for ministry by the integrity of his heart and by the skillfulness of his hand. Now let's drive some key points home. So what do I need the most in the work of ministry to disciple others? What? What is it? Come on, what is it? And what else? My experience. Does my experience include my submission to my pastor? What I learned from my pastor? Everything becomes important. 2 Timothy 2:2, the things you have seen and learned of me among many witnesses. Paul says, commit unto faithful men that shall be able to teach others. Why do you think Paul will say a shepherd, a bishop, must not be a novice? 1 Timothy 3, verse 6 and 7. Why? Because he'll be proud. What's a novice? He doesn't have experience. He's just carried away by position, by pictures, by title. They call him pastor. His head begins to turn. An experienced person knows pastor is responsibility. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you following this? It's a responsibility. 1 Samuel 22. Open your eyes to this. 1 Samuel 22. Verse 1. David therefore departed hence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down either to him. And look at 2. Look at the people that came to him. Are you there? Those who were in distress. Let's count it. Let's move. Let's rush it together. Come on. Verse 2. And everyone that was in distress. And everyone that was in debt. And everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became captain over them, and they were with him about 400 men. No ready-made person. Are you there? Problematic people. Drug addicts. Emotionally deprived people. Depraved. Not looking for rich people. Wealthy people. No. Shattered people. People who need a savior spiritually, who are not complete in themselves. Look up, everyone. Those are the people God is sending you to. Did you hear me? People that are on their own, unstable, on their own, confused, come on their own, shattered, wounded. Look at them. They are in debt. They are distressed. Some of us run when people have problems. You complain. I tell your pastors, you can't complain. That's why you are the pastor. You are the pastor because of problems. So you pray more. You fast more. Hallelujah. You stand up. I know a pastor like that. Any situation is vigil. In fact, they said that if a member of his church, if they are in the labor ward or labor room, he will go and stay there and pray all day. So that kind of person will now grow spiritually and begin to give the pastor a car. You say, this is control. No. This is the, look at this, 400. And all of them, not one person could sow a seed. Oh, then now they just came with problems. 400. Imagine you have a fellowship. The entire 400, their sign and symbol is problems. You know, I was rusticated from school. I was a court boy. Everyone say, my parents are dead. Everyone say, I'm away World Bank. This one say, I'm divorced. This one say, I used to smoke hemp. You don't say, what did you want to hear? I was through the Holy Ghost before I was born again. Guy said, I was in million boys. Ah, these are not the people God sent us to. Say, I'm a shepherd to the shattered. Shepherd to the wounded. I'm going to mold them for Jesus. So what do you need? You need to have a heart for them. Are you there? Are you there? A heart for them. Jesus was amongst the same people. You need to have time. Time. This particular one, put it in capital letters. You need to have what? Time. You need to have sacrifice for them. A good heart, create time, sacrifice. Now look up. I'm going to say something here. You need to have hope. Expectation. Hope. Strong hope and expectation. There are two things you can either be, a manager or a shepherd. A manager is just looking for people to use as collateral for ministry. A shepherd is looking for people to change their lives. A lot of word-oriented people, I'm a word-oriented person, never want to shepherd anybody. So they want ready-made people. So usually they go and poach from churches. Those who are influential, those who are already doing well in their churches, who are already committed, flowing with the Holy Ghost, involved in, what do you need? Those ones don't need pastors. Are you following my point? You need David's 400 men. Hallelujah. The 400 men. So when it says God made him feed Jacob, and he led them. The very first pastor in scripture was killed, is Abel. The second one we saw was Moses. The number of people, they were all idol worshippers. And they were a group of murmurers. They would murmur for Moses. Have you ever seen five people murmur before? 50, 500, 1,000, 1 million, 2 million. You almost say, Lord, take my spirit. 40 years he was with them. Say, I have the heart of a good shepherd. So David's church were hurting people, wounded people, even bitter people. But David fed them. Say, I know how to feed. I know how to transform lives. I don't think I heard you. Say, I know how to transform lives. Do you have hope that these guys will become spiritual stalwarts in their 50s, 60s, 70s? They will follow the legacies, the examples, the posterity that you have laid. I have hope for the church. I have hope for the flock. I have hope for all of them. And I'm never going to give up. Come on, is anybody like that here? I'm never going to give up. I'm not going to run away from their challenges. I will be there. A good shepherd does not run. I lay down my life for the flock. 2 Samuel 23. Hope you are learning something. 2 Samuel 23. This was at the very last words of David. He now describes how he started. By this time, something had happened. I could start from verse 1. Now this be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse. And the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob. The sweet psalmist of Israel said, the spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling the fear of God, shall be as the light of the morning. When the sun rises, even the morning without clouds, as the tender grass springs out of the earth by the clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he had made me that everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, for this is all my salvation, and this is my desire, all my desire, although he made it not to grow. But the sons of Belial shall be all of them as stones thrust away, because they cannot take him with hands. For the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and a staff of spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. These are the names of the, what now? So what happened to those beaten, battered, hurt, death-ridden men? They are now called what? Mighty men. The Tatmonite that sat in the sea, chief among the captains, the same with Adino the Ezanite. Because fair against the 800 whom he slew at one time. David had now raised mighty men. They moved from the wounded and the shattered to mighty men. Jesus took Peter and all those unstable guys. They are now the pillars of the faith. From Jesus to the 12. The 12, then the apostles, Acts of the Apostles, then the prophets, then the teachers, then the deacons. Paul, Timothy, Silas, Priscilla and Aquila. Romans 16 gives us the story. Timothy and Titus. Men are raised. I close here. Men are made. And it can only happen with patience, a good heart, a loyal heart. We often talk about loyalty to the pastor. But what about pastor's loyalty to the flock? I rate pastor's loyalty to the flock way above the flock's loyalty to the pastor. You must be loyal to your flock. Don't discuss your flock with your spouse. Did you hear me? Give me some samples. Don't discuss your flock with your spouse. Don't discuss your flock with your business partner. Be loyal to your flock. Carry them on your heart on a Monday morning, Tuesdays, Wednesdays. Don't be ashamed of them. When you hear they're in a mess, don't do disclaimer. Be there. So I'm in this way. I'm in this with you. Whatever they call you, they'll call me. And I'm yours. It turned out that this man became the mighty man of war. Just like your disciples become mighty men of war in the hands of God. Men and women of God. It's not going to happen in one day. It's not going to happen in 30 days. It may not happen in 5 years. But it will happen. It's a good heart. The skillfulness of your heart. Prayer. When you pray for them. Do you pray as a duty? Or you have the spirit of prayer upon you? How do I know I have the spirit of prayer upon me? Because I pray with the gospel in mind. So, God has led the wounded to me. People with broken homes, broken down hearts. People who want to abandon the faith. People who don't understand the gospel. People living their lives anyhow. I am their shepherd. And I will love them. And I will be there for them. And I will give for that purpose. I will pray. I will spend nights. I mean vigils. I will spend days. When I'm in the prayer group meetings, my heart is burning because of them. When I'm at World Changers Conference, prayer rallies, zonal prayer meetings, I'm weeping. You know why I'm weeping? I see where we are, I know where we are going to. I see who he is, but I know where he's going to. I see what he is now, but I can see what he will be tomorrow. So, I have the back pangs of a mother giving birth to a child. I'm birthing purpose. I'm birthing God's mighty men. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take. This was many years. They became the mighty men. So, I'll close with this. What is your dream over the men and women over your care? Can you pay the price for their growth? Can you stay in a place because of them? Can you be there for them? Do you have a dream? A dream. The way I pastor is that I have a dream for those I pastor. And I'm praying it out. That so many times it's not coming to pass here, but I'm praying it out. And I begin to receive God's wisdom as I'm praying. What to do next? Okay, don't do this one yet. Give it some 2 years. I'm praying. Sometimes I stay at night and I'm sighing. And I'm in tears. And I'm just praying. And I'm saying, God,
Sometimes I lack words. I can only express tears, speak in other tongues and sigh. But I'm in deep-seated prayer. I'm saying, God, I'm not talking about this year. I'm saying when we were 2, when we were 3, when we were 10, 20. I want you at this conference to catch the spirit of a shepherd. I converted to a good shepherd. To love the flock. To want God, what God wants for them. To dream God's dream over their lives. Before every World Changers conference, before you go for prayer group meetings, before you have a vigil, let this be settled in your heart. Will you pay the price? Will you be there? Many things you will do for the flock, they won't even know. Write that down. They won't even thank you for it. But God rewards you, and He will reward you. Hallelujah. I want us to pray. 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 Who has God brought to you that you abandoned? Who has He set in your place? Who? Let us pray. That from this conference will birth new cells, burning with fire. A new vision for your states, a new vision for your city. A fresh vision for your village, your town, your campus. I am a shepherd to the shattered, to the wounded, to the confused, to the bitter. Those who are bitter against religion, against the faith, I will pastor them. Those who are angry with life and themselves. Those who would rather commit suicide than live on. Those hooked on drugs, pornography, immorality, illicit sex. Those who have multiple marriages. Those whose life has no direction. Those who have been slaves to sin and fear. I am their shepherd. But I'm going to have mighty men be from them. Men and women of God. I will do this work. Pray. That today, the 19th of September, 2020, marks a fresh page in your discipleship ministry. A fresh chapter. We need to go the long haul. Whether all your desires for yourself come to pass or not, you will keep at it. Whether all your own personal dreams be fulfilled or not, wherever you are listening to this in all our churches, that your heart is ignited afresh, you are never going to give up. Say loud and clear, I don't give up on people. I don't give up on people. I don't run from situations. I don't run from bad situations. I clean it up. I resolve it. I'm the shepherd to the shepherd. I give direction to the wounded, to the confused. I am there for them. I'm there on Monday, I'm there on Tuesday, I'm there on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I am there for them. This is my purpose for living. This is what it makes to make my life count. I am there for them. Not just 2020, 2030, 2040, 2050, I'm there. 2060. Just like David, they will come wounded, but they become mighty men. They will come shattered, but they become mighty men. Lord, my heart is open, sincere. I'm willing to use all my experiences. All I've learned, all I'm learning, all I'm passing through and going through, they become a ministry, a tool in ministry. Hallelujah.